Psalm chapter 34 and verse 14 says, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." So I was just thinking about this when I was having a bit of prayer. So the title of this talk is Seek Peace. But then it adds more to it and says, pursue it. So run after it, okay? Or try to find it. You know, where's that peace? You know, so seek peace. I mean, the start of that is, of course, is departing from evil. You know, follow and doing good is following God's commandments, following his ways, as we know. But then seek peace. And then, like, you look for it. Like, it's like a jungle and you're trying to find peace. Okay, let's get the energy behind pursuing peace in our lives. So that's what I'm going to talk about is seek peace. Over to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, just having that energy behind trying to find peace. And we all like to be in peace. It's a good thing. The world's constantly trying to seek peace. But God wants us to have peace as well. He's known as Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. So let's pursue it, seek it, look for it. And here in Isaiah chapter 55, and verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near." Okay? So we're seeking peace, we're pursuing after peace. And here it says, while he can be found. While the Lord can be found, while the God of peace can be found, pursue it. Continue to have this energy in trying to find peace. Because it implies in verse 6, because sometime in the future, the Lord won't be found. And it says, while he's near, while he's close, while we have this relationship, because it talks in future, he won't be near. Okay? So while he's near, while he can be found, pursue after peace. Grab hold of it, an important aspect. So to highlight this aspect of God being near and being able to be found now, but in future not, we'll go through a couple of scriptures. But first of all, Revelation chapter 3. These pages are getting worn out in my Bible. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. It's the last bit of the prophecies of the seven churches. So Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," or "Behold, Jesus Christ," who is saying these words, "is near." He can be found. He's at the door. Okay, so it's like he's waiting. Can you please knock? Okay, he wants you to knock and he stands at the door. So pursue after it and seek after it and find him. "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him," i.e. he will be found, he's near, "and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Okay, so Jesus is making it quite clear here. He's standing at the door. He's waiting to be pursued. He's waiting to be sought out. He can be found now, and then he'll open the door and he'll sup. We'll sup together. And then ultimately, we'll have this amazing privilege of sitting with Jesus in his throne with our Father in heaven. So how close would he be then? Okay, Matthew 25, a couple of parables in Matthew 25 to really bring it home about this aspect of him being near, but then not later. Matthew 25, bit of reading, two of these parables in this chapter. Matthew 25 and verse 1, and it says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." So these virgins, it's like they're pure before the Lord in a spiritual sense. So those that are the Spirit-filled, you know, and potentially walking in Spirit and in truth, having a great relationship with the Lord, what it seems on the outside. So all 10 of them were virgins, pure before the Lord, and they went out to meet the bridegroom. The groom, i.e. Jesus Christ himself. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. Okay, as they're walking and through life on earth, five are wise and five are foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps but took no oil with them. And the oil represents the Holy Spirit. So they weren't using the Spirit. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, as he is now, he's waiting, he's tarrying, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Okay? That door was shut. That same door we read about in Revelation chapter 3 was shut now. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." We don't know when Jesus is returning. And up until Jesus returns, he's there available. He's there available, you know, for us, Spirit-filled people, but also for those that aren't Spirit-filled. You know, he's making it quite clear. He's available. He's like, we have whole meetings where the Spirit-filled people are walking around in this earth today, being able to expound the scriptures to those that know not the truth. So in a way, he is near in that way. And the door is open, available, while he can be found. But there will be a time when that door will be shut. Now, we're talking about seeking peace, pursuing it. And so we are here to seek peace while he's available and while he can be found. Down to verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory," when Jesus returns, "and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, 'Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me.' Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, 'Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?' And the king shall answer and say unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me.' Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, 'Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not.' Then shall they also answer him, saying, 'Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?' Then shall he answer them, saying, 'Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.'" We look forward to the eternal life aspect. The righteous, i.e. the sheep, will go into eternal life, but the goats will go into everlasting punishment. Okay? So today, Jesus is available to anybody who will repent, be baptized, and seek for the Holy Spirit. He's available now. But when Jesus returns, that time will stop. Jesus won't be available for those that want to repent and come out of the things of the world. And so he is there to be found. Jesus is here to be found. He wants us to seek him out. Okay? Now we, Spirit-filled people, look forward, of course, I've said many times, to dwelling with him in the Spirit. In the Spirit completely with God in the throne. And today we live on earth, as we sang in the hymn, in this valley of death, that we are walking surrounded by death, people who refuse to hearken unto God's word and refuse to seek him out. But while we're here, we need to seek out and pursue peace. We need it. It's vital for everyone. It's available for all mankind. But those that are Spirit-filled continue to seek it out. Continue to pursue it. Galatians chapter 5. It's the ultimate reward, being raised up to dwell with the Lord forever. The ultimate reward. God wants to grant unto a people peace now. And peace is internal. So often we think that if we did this and this and this and this, or I had this, this and this and this, I'd be peaceful. But it's not the case. We know too many examples of people pursuing objects and it doesn't give them peace. Peace is an internal thing. And God wants to keep us in a state of peace today. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And we talk here about difference as well, like what gives us, what's from God and what's not from God. So verse 16 of Galatians 5 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." So it's like you could reread that. It says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit," but then it says, "and the Spirit against the flesh." So you can almost use the same word. The Spirit lusts against the flesh as well. You know, there's this this burning desire in the Spirit to be prominent in our lives, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, and they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And all those things listed there, some are obviously against the law, some aren't, some are things that happen every day, but none of those give you peace. Okay, they're the opposite to peace. They're things of the flesh. But then we go on, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So you want peace? You need the Spirit. But you need to walk in the Spirit. It's clearly a fruit of the Spirit. Peace. Okay? Along with all those other things, but the main thing we're talking about today is peace and seek after it. So if you need peace in your lives within yourself, seek after it, actively pursue it, and know that it is a fruit of the Spirit. Look to spiritual things, not to carnal things, as we read in those verses 19, 20 and 21. The key to peace is through the Spirit. And so pursue it. Further down in Galatians it says, "And as many as walk according to this rule," it's interesting how it says that, "as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy." So in a way, in this passage we've read, it's kind of like a rule, saying look to spiritual things, not to fleshly things. look to the fruit of the Spirit and understand the fruit of the Spirit and pursue after it as many as walk according to this rule. Peace be on them and mercy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober, i.e. be active in pursuing these things. Verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And that wake and sleep is different to the sleep it's referring to earlier. It means if you're alive or dead when Jesus comes back, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. So as you already do it, continue doing it. Continue edifying one another. And so here in verse 9 is a critical verse. It says, for God has not appointed us to wrath, okay? He hasn't called us out. He hasn't filled us with the Holy Spirit. He hasn't called us for the purpose of wrath, for the purpose of discarding us down into hell. He hasn't called us according to that purpose, but he's called us that we may obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And what an amazing purpose that is. It's a good thing that God's called us to be part of his kingdom. It's a wonderful thing. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We have this fruit of the Spirit available to us. So with energy, seek and pursue it. There's this peace that's available. And of course, that's the thing that I'm focusing on today. Seek and pursue it, because that's why God's called us. It's for a good thing. We are the children of the day. Okay, we're not the children of the night. It says elsewhere that those that at nighttime, they get up to all sorts of mischief. You know, they're hiding away, you know, all these things away from the law, away from people, so they can get up to mischief. We're not like that. We're open people, and we follow our lives not shamefacedness before the Lord, not with shamefacedness, because we have him, we are confident in our righteousness. So let's seek it out and know that, hey, he's appointed us to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 3. And if he's done that, it's through Jesus Christ himself that we get great things. So here, I'm going to be, I hope you'll bear with me for a moment and it's not too tedious for you. I'm going to read, I've lost track now, was it four? Four scriptures. A source of peace. And when I think of peace, I also think of contentment. Okay, so we'll read four scriptures about contentment and how important it is to be content. So here in Luke chapter 3 and verse 14, it's John the Baptist here, and Luke 3 verse 14 says, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he, being John the Baptist, said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Okay? That there comes up a lot in our lives, our modern lives, being content with your wages. And just a couple of stories of my current work situation. Recently, we went through this what's called a transition period where people that were working for two companies then had the opportunity to be employed by the organisation I now work with. Now, I was part of one of those companies and I jumped on board, And so there were plenty of people that jumped on board from those two companies. And I was in this meeting a couple of weeks ago, and the people that came from one company were so disappointed because the compensation, I suppose you could say, for jumping on board was so much less than the other one. And they were grizzling and they were complaining and woe is me, woe, 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 right? And I thought, oh yeah, they've got a good point. It's unfair, right? We don't like things that are unfair. You know, they were doing the same work. They're in the same office in the end. And beforehand, they're in the same office as well for years. And I thought, yeah, that's a bit unfair. But then I thought afterwards, I thought, no, wait a minute. One company gave them what was their due. The other company gave them more. So what the Lord's saying is, like, don't grizzle about it. Be content. Yeah, okay, it was unfair. But hey, look, I've got my life to lead. It was unfair. And so, but what's the point in grizzling about it and being sad and disappointed about the raw deal afterwards? Because they actually got a good deal. Both companies gave us a good deal. It's just one of them was so much better. So here, John the Baptist, full of the Holy Ghost, inspired by God, a source of contentment is being content with your wages. And also, Ali knows I come home grizzling a fair bit about certain things at work. And there's one thing in my line of work, which is it appears to us so unfair. I'm not getting something that others seem to be getting. And I was thinking about this, we'll be content with your wages. Well, what I'm getting is okay. If I was working for another organisation, I'd be getting what I'm getting now. It's just that thing is a bit better. So the Lord wants us to be content with our wages. Just carry on with life. I'm living okay. We can do the things we need to do for the Lord and for ourselves. So with time, I'm getting closer to being content with my wages as well, as I read the scriptures and talk about it in front of everyone. Philippians chapter 4. It happens in all our lives. We don't like things that are unfair. But for us to have peace, be content. Philippians 4 and verse 11. So Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learnt, okay, a learning process. And that's what we're all learning about. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. So this is more than just wages. It's just where you're living or what you're living, what conditions you're living in or what's happening in your life around you that you have no control over. Whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And again, I know a lot of you know that there's no way I'm content when I'm hungry. But here, Paul clearly says, I've learnt to be content when I'm full, when I'm hungry, when I have a lot of stuff and when I don't have a lot of stuff. Whatever state he's in, he's learnt to be content. And it's a type of peace to learn that, to learn how to tap into the spirit of peace in our lives. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay, and this is an internal thing. It's not to do with possessions, like, because that's what this is all about, is this aspect of being rich and full of possessions. You know, the great gain is what you cannot see, the godliness and contentment. In verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And lately I've been thinking about that, and it helps perspective on tapping into the peace and pursuing after the peace and being content with what you got. We can't take anything with us. Whether we have a lot now or not much now, it doesn't matter when you're dead. You know, what matters is if you've been following the Lord through godliness and learning that to be at peace and content. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Is that where I'm finishing? Verse 8, yeah. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So that's what Paul breaks it down to. If you've got some tucker and you've got food, clothes, then try to be content. Learn to be content about having those things in your life. And peaceful about it too. Hebrews chapter 3, the last one in this scriptures about being content. But great advice. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, you know, want desiring to get more stuff, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So there, the Lord's saying, look, be content with what you have. And then he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So what about the wonderful thing that we do have? The Holy Spirit. So be content with this thing that you have, this source of peace. That you are to seek after and find and pursue. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So, as a result of that understanding, we can then grow that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Okay? So that's the point, and that's the point of sharing testimony as well, to know that, hey, God is with us. He's close by. He can be found. The door is open. He's leaning in the doorway, waiting for us to call to him and find him. That then we can say, in retrospect with our testimony, he's our helper. It's like Marlisa's testimony, like confusion as to why she's not receiving the Spirit. What's going on here? You know, but still being encouraged. And now she can boldly say, as all of the testimonies today, boldly say, when we look in retrospect over our life, that he is our helper and he did not leave us nor forsake us. That confidence, if we continue on learning how to be content and seeking after that peace that he wants to give us. Okay, penultimate scripture, Philippians chapter 4. Wonderful chapter. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. And that implies that even when you can't rejoice, try and find a way to rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace that passes all understanding. That's that great treasure when we talk about peace. Having a peace that passes all understanding. And here it shows us an avenue of rejoicing in the Lord, letting your moderation be known, not being anxious for anything, but by praying, thanksgiving, making your request be known, and as a result of that, the peace of God that passes all understanding. So it's an action word, when you're seeking peace and pursuing it. You're praying always, thanksgiving, rejoicing in the Lord, and the Lord will grant unto your peace that passes all understanding. Jeremiah chapter 29 to finish up. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Famous passage. So Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. So God knows the thoughts he thinks toward us, which is good to know, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, that purpose we've been called. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. He's standing in the door. And you shall seek me and find me. Then you shall search for me with all your heart. Search, pursue, seek out with all your heart, because he's there to be found. He's got this amazing resource, the Holy Spirit that he's given us, for us to tap into and seek and understand and learn what it's like to be peaceful and joyful within, despite what's going on around us. He has thoughts of peace and not evil toward us. He wants to give us that peace. So let us pray for it, seek for it actively. Okay, thank you.